Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and the celebrant for this Mass is Bishop Timothy Sr. of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The worship program for this Mass can be found online at stpatrickscathedral.org/live. And as we begin this liturgy, we invite you to rise and to join in singing our entrance hymn, number 699, in the blue hardcover St. Michael hymnal found in the pews, number 699, On Jordan's Bank.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. It's a great joy to gather on this second Sunday of Advent here in St. Patrick's Cathedral. I suspect that some of you may be disappointed that it's not Cardinal Dolan, but I'm another Timothy. I'm Bishop Timothy Sr., the Bishop of the Diocese of Harrisburg. Cardinal Dolan's Eminence is in Paris for the rededication of Notre Dame Cathedral. And again, a great grace. I'm grateful to him for this opportunity. I'm in New York with a couple thousand Pennsylvanians who are here for the Pennsylvania Society. For over 125 years, Pennsylvanians have come to New York on the second weekend in December to spend time together, to talk about issues that are of common concern, and to also enjoy some social time. So it's a grace to be with you. Joining us also this morning are the American delegation of the Savoy Orders, and with them, His Royal Highness Prince Emanuele Filiberto, the Duke of Savoy, His Royal Highness Prince Dimitri of Yugoslavia, and Father Michael Langford Stokes, the chaplain for the American delegation of the Savoy Orders. So it's a grace to welcome you on behalf of the Archdiocese of New York today. John Baptist calls us to prepare the way of the Lord in the gospel today, make straight his path. It's a familiar Advent theme for us, to prepare always to meet Jesus, to welcome him, knowing that he is always desiring to come closer to each one of us, to dwell more fully and more visibly in our hearts. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let us call to mind our need for Jesus to come to each of us. First, to forgive our sins, but to bring healing and renewed strength in all of our hearts as we call to mind his mercy. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Am I proclaiming the gospel?
No. A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east to see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness. How I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. All flesh shall see the salvation of
you. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Thyrea and Trachonitis, and Licentius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
What a great grace it is to gather in this beautiful cathedral here in New York. I'm sure so many of you are from other parts of the country, like me, or from other parts of the world. But we are together as one people of faith as we gather for the celebration of the Eucharist on this Sunday morning, the second Sunday of Advent. What a great grace it is to be together for this. And John the Baptist speaks that Advent challenge to us. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Always that challenge to open our hearts more fully to God, to acknowledge our need for him and to welcome him, knowing that he is always gazing upon us with love. You know, we can think so often in ourselves an unworthiness as we approach the presence of God. And that's normal in our humanity and humility. But God sees us as the one he is creating, and always at work in our lives, as we hear St. Paul say today, I'm confident of this, that the one who began the good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The one who has began the good work in you. God is working in each one of our lives. God is working. He wants us to surrender a bit more, to allow him to fill our hearts with that renewed hope that Advent brings. These are very hectic days in our lives, aren't they? Always in December, so many commitments, so many opportunities, and so often very good things, things we want to do. But the Word of God invites us to create a quiet space, at least for this time, and especially during this Mass today. What does it mean for you to prepare the way of the Lord in your life a bit more? What needs to happen? What act of surrender, what turning over to God is he inviting you to do on this second Sunday of Advent? St. Paul gives us a clue on at least part of that preparation when he says that your love may increase evermore and more into knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value. If I want to prepare the way of the Lord, I need to recognize that my life should be filled with what's truly meaningful and valuable. How much time do we waste? How many opportunities do we miss because we're preoccupied with things that really do not satisfy us? And even just not necessarily sinful things, but we know that things that are not really valuable. We know what's most valuable in our life. You know, the people that are most valuable, those relationships that are so close to us. Perhaps the Advent season and preparing the way for the Lord means spending a little more time with those whom we value so deeply, most fully, those family relationships or our friends, or reconnecting with someone whose love and relationship we value so much, to make time for that. And above all, to make time for the Lord himself. Time for prayer, time for the sacraments, preparation, prepare the way of the Lord. There's no better way to do that. We have that great gift of the sacrament of confession, to get to confession during these Advent days, to prepare the way of the Lord with that fresh start, that wonderful gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. What is truly valuable in our life is our relationship with God, the most precious thing we have, and all those relationships that lead us to him. And there's another insight that we get actually from the prophet Baruch. You know, so often we know God desires to come into our life and we want him to come into our life, but there are things that get in the way, right? And so the promise of God is that God has commanded, Baruch says, that every lofty mountain be made low, that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground. What is he talking about there? Well, historically, he's talking about the children of Israel returning from exile to Jerusalem. They're returning. And things were going to be made clear for them. The path would be made straight. And John the Baptist quotes a similar quote from the prophet Isaiah in the gospel. But, you know, in our hearts, spiritually, we can have some lofty mountains that get in the way. And perhaps even more painfully, age-old depths and gorges. Now God wants to make the mountains, the obstacles, the things that get in the way of our deepening our relationship with Christ. He wants to make those mountains low. And the age-old gorges, the gorges, the age-old depths, my heart. Is there anything I'm holding on to? And holding on to for a long time. It just keeps me from growing closer to the Lord. Age-old depths. God wants to heal that. If that's what you feel in your heart, he wants to heal that. You got to let him in to do that. He wants to fill those age-old depths, whatever they may be, the wounds that we carry, the breakups in our relationships, the grudges that we hold. He wants us to be free of that, so that he could take over our hearts all the more. My brothers and sisters, on this second Sunday of Advent, listen to John the Baptist's invitation. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. There are no age-old gorges and depths that are too powerful for God's love and mercy. There is no lofty mountain that will get in the way. Value those things that truly matter in our relationship with God, and make this time of Lent, these days before Christmas, be ever more fruitful, an encounter with the love and mercy that God has for each of us. God bless you. Please join me now as together we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We present our petitions to our Heavenly Father.
Our response is, we pray to the Lord. For Pope Francis, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the renewal of the church, that the Lord may sanctify her during this holy season of Advent, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For catechists and teachers of the faith, may they be given wisdom and grace as they form a new generation of disciples of the Lord, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
God our Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Pray, my sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and of all of his holy church.
Be pleased, O Lord, with our humble prayers and offerings, and since we have no merits to plead our cause, come, we pray, to our rescue with the protection of your mercy. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfilled the design you formed long ago, and opened for us the way to eternal salvation. That when he comes again in glory and majesty, and all is at last made manifest, we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise in which now we dare to hope. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so we may attain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, St. Patrick and all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you in your compassion and merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind and minister your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen, amen, amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Queen of
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Share with one another a sign of peace. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Take away the sins of the world.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, number 609 in the hymnal. Number 609, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence.
Thank you.
Please turn then to hymn number 672 in the hymnal, O Lord, I Am Not Worthy.
Oh, Lord.
We invite you to turn then to hymn number 497 in the hymnal, Creator of the Stars of Night.
Let us pray. Replenished by the food of spiritual nourishment, we humbly beseech you, O Lord, that through our partaking in this mystery, you may teach us to judge wisely the things of earth and hold firm to the things of heaven. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Once again, I'm very grateful to His Eminence Cardinal Dolan for the grace of being able to celebrate this Mass today of Pennsylvania Society Weekend and to be with so many of you. As we go forth, we do want to ask God's blessing on this Advent season ahead. Before I do, I want to make note of the presence of these young men who are here in the sanctuary. They're part of the Cathedral Prep Program here in the Archdiocese of New York, and they're discerning, in the early stages, discerning a vocation to the priesthood, we hope. So please say a prayer for them. They certainly did a wonderful job, and it is, again, a grace to have them as well. Yes. As we go forth again, we ask God's blessing that our hearts will be open to receive the Lord, that we will truly use these Advent days to prepare for Him to come more fully into our hearts. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing. May the Almighty and merciful God, by whose grace you have placed your faith in the first coming of His only begotten Son and yearn for His coming again, sanctify you by the radiance of Christ's advent and enrich you with His blessing.
Amen.
As you run the race of this present life, may He make you firm in faith, joyful in hope, and active in charity. So that rejoicing now with devotion at the Redeemer's coming in the flesh, you may be endowed with the rich reward of eternal life when He comes again in majesty.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go forth glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God. Please join in singing our recessional hymn, number 775 in the hymnal, number 775, The Advent of Our King.